Radio 1 DJs of the 1990s, like, oh, I have a booty, Radio 1, boo, boo, boo. It's like, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to episode 111 of
Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
Hello, I'm Craig.
And I'm Reza.
And with over 40 years of teaching experience between Reza and I, we are here to help you improve your English and take it to the next level. How are you, Reza?
I'm very well, Craig. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Feeling good. If you are new to this podcast, you're very welcome. And in this episode, we're going to help you ask for, give, and understand directions. But before that, we have some feedback from Valentina, who's asking about the CAE exam.
Hi, Reza. Hi, Greg. I'm Valentina, and I want to thank you so much for your work. It's helping me a lot to pass my CAE certificate exam, an advanced exam of English, which is this Saturday. I'm a little bit scared, but I think I can scrape through it. My boyfriend just told me about this podcast, and I wanted to thank him as well. Hany is a fan of yours. He's going to write together with me a message, an email message to you, because he wanted to keep in contact with you. So we are going to write to you, but this was a surprise for him. I hope you will send this recording on your next podcast, and then and that I can pass my exam. If you want, I can share the mark. A big hug, and see you soon, listen to you soon, and see you on the net. Thank you.
Well, we actually got this message from Valentina a few weeks ago, so she's already taken the exam, and we really hope you passed, Valentina, and you got a good mark for your exam. Her English was very good, wasn't it?
Very good pronunciation, Valentina, very good. And I don't think you made any mistakes.
I like the expression she used, to scrape through. She said, I hope I scrape through. How would you say that in Spanish? Por los pelos.
Por los pelos.
To scrape is arrastrar.
Yes.
And to scrape through an exam is just to pass it. But I think you will more than scrape through, Valentina, because your English sounded very, very good to us. So please let us know how the exam was, if it was difficult, which parts you were happy with. And of course, please let us know your result when you get it.
Okay, Craig, what have we got lined up?
Lined up for this episode, as we said at the beginning, giving, understanding, asking for directions when you're in the street, when you want to get somewhere, if you need to get to the bank or the nearest restaurant or whatever. How do you speak in English to a stranger and ask the way? Although I was thinking about this, and most people these days use Google Maps, don't they? Would you use Google Maps on your phone?
I do. I use Google Maps quite a lot, actually. However, I often find myself having to ask directions when I'm very near the place I'm going to. I find that Google Maps is good when you're far away, but as you get right up to or very near the place, if you've never been there before, sometimes you just have to ask a person to point you in the right direction.
So then if you needed to get somewhere, say, for example, in Valencia, and you didn't know the way, would your first reaction be to take out your phone and use your phone, or would you just ask somebody?
I would first take out my phone, I must admit, but then I would probably ask someone as well just to double check. That's what I normally do. What about you?
Depends if I'm in a hurry, if I'm rushed, if how much time do I have. If I have more time, I'd use the phone, because sometimes with Google Maps, you don't get the address right. Sometimes it's difficult to read, or you might get lost with the phone. It's not that reliable. And I would, if I was in a rush, in a hurry, I would ask somebody. I think that's probably quicker. Unless, of course, I had a problem with the language. If I was in a country where I didn't understand the language, then it gets more difficult. So let's look at some expressions. Let's say, for example, you are in your country and a tourist asks you for directions. It's a good opportunity to practice your English, I think. So, Reza, what kind of questions do you think people might hear in the street from a tourist in English?
Well, let's start with a simple one. It could happen in a place like Valencia, where Craig and I spend most of our time. How do I get to the beach?
You're here. You're at the...
it just so happens we're very near the beach right now.
We are near the beach, but there are a lot of tourists here in Valencia at the moment because it's the summer. It's the summer break. So that's a very common question. How do I get to the beach, or where's the beach?
And how do I get to? Get to means how do I arrive at? But it's much more typical to say get to.
Because it's more informal, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Another popular question, where's the nearest something? So, for example, where's the nearest supermarket? Where's the nearest bank? That's a very common question. When you hear this, you'll probably hear excuse me or sorry before the question. Remember, these questions are direct, so they're not particularly polite. So instead of where's the nearest supermarket, you'll probably hear excuse me, where's the nearest supermarket with high intonation? Or excuse me, how do I get to the beach? Another one, can you tell me? So can you tell me where the train station is?
Of course, that is a slightly more complicated version of simply, where is the train station? But it sounds politer, as we mentioned in a previous episode, to use an indirect question. So instead of just saying, where is the train station? If you had the, can you tell me? Then it does sound politer. Yes, it's a little bit more effort, but it's only a second of your time. And we recommend, particularly with someone that you want to be polite to, that you add these little bits like, can you tell me, or do you know, or I wonder if you can tell me. Craig, can you remember the episode that we dealt with indirect questions in?
Yes, if you go to inglespodcast.com/50, that was the episode we did with our friend Nicola, and we spoke all about how to ask polite indirect questions. So if you listen to that episode after this one, then you should know exactly how to ask and understand those polite indirect questions like, do you know where the nearest petrol station is? Notice the intonation up and down. It's very, very polite to raise and lower the tone, the pitch of your voice, the music. As you're asking the question, do you know where the nearest petrol station is?
Another possibility could be, can you tell me how to get to the post office, please? For example, instead of how do I get to, like how do I get to the beach, our first example, we could add, can you tell me how to get, change it to an infinitive. Can you tell me how to get to the post office, please?
Como llegar, how to get to the post office, how to get to the bank.
Earlier, Craig said, where is the nearest supermarket? The simple question, but we could make it indirect, more polite by saying, could you tell me where the town hall is, please? For example, or where the supermarket is, or where the nearest supermarket is. So you can add the bit, could you tell me where the town hall is, please?
And remember, as we said in episode 50, the verb to be, in this case, is, gets changed, by, the position gets changed, so it's at the end of the phrase. So where is the town hall changes to, could you tell me where the town hall is? So the is is at the end of the phrase.
But you'll find more details about the grammar of that in episode 50.
Do you remember how to say the place outside the bank, the machine where you get money, the cash money?
That's right, if you thought cash machine or ATM.
Do you know where I might find a cash machine? Do you know where I might find an ATM? That's quite polite, isn't it? Do you know where I might find? Very polite.
Or if you're unlucky, like Craig today, you might have to actually go inside the bank, in which case you might say, I'm looking for a bank.
Yeah.
Craig, can you tell the listeners your little story?
Well, my credit card got hacked recently. Unfortunately, somebody got my credit card details and started buying computer games online. I started getting messages that I've been spending money on computer games, so I had to go to the bank to cancel the credit card. Yeah, although I knew where the bank was, so I didn't have to ask for directions. That question is very short and very direct. I'm looking for a bank. But it's okay if you put excuse me before it, if you use polite intonation in your voice, that's okay. So, excuse me, I'm looking for a bank would be acceptable.
Yes. And not only can you add excuse me before any of these, but you can also put please at the end of any of these. So, excuse me, I'm looking for a bank, please. Or, how do I get to the beach, please? Or, excuse me, how do I get to the beach? So you can add excuse me to the beginning or please to the end of any of these expressions.
It'd be the same in Spanish. I think in Spanish I would say perdona, puedes, yeah.
Usually, not always though, it's not obligatory, but it's a good idea to say it, isn't it?
What about this, Reza? Are you from around here? Do you live here? When would you use that?
Well, you would open the conversation with that, because if someone isn't from around here or doesn't live here, they possibly don't know how to get anywhere. So it's quite good to begin by asking, are you from around here? And if the person says, yes, I am, then you could say, oh, good. Then please, could you tell me where the nearest bank is? But if the person says, actually, no, I don't know this area, then it might not be a good idea to ask them for directions. You should find another person, perhaps.
Yeah, especially at this time of the year in our area near the beach in summer, there are a lot of tourists. There are a lot of people who are not from here. So obviously you want to make sure that the person lives in the area before you ask directions. This is a question I used this morning, but in Spanish. Would you mind telling me the way to the police station? Because I had to go to the police station. Would you mind telling me? Would you mind, remember, is always with a gerund when it's followed with a verb. Would you mind telling me? Would you mind showing me? Would you mind helping me? Would you mind explaining? So it's a gerund after would you mind. And the question, would you mind telling me the way to the police station? Would you mind telling me where the nearest bank is?
Another nice, polite expression in English to ask directions is, do you happen to know, or would you happen to know?
That's very polite.
Very polite. But it's nice, isn't it? Mm-hmm. For example, would you happen to know where the nearest bookshop is? Or do you happen to know where the police station is? For example.
When was the last time somebody asked you where the nearest bookshop is?
Quite a while ago.
Yeah.
Another one is, can you direct me? So, for example, can you direct me to the hospital, please?
Direct me is dirigirme?
Yes. So, in other words, tell me what direction it is. Or, can you direct me to the nearest bank, please?
Or, excuse me, can you direct me to the bus station?
Can you think of any more nice, polite expressions, Craig?
Well, very often you're in a city and you want something specific, like, for example, bread or, I don't know, batteries. So you could ask for a shop or somewhere that sells that specific thing you want. An example question could be, excuse me, do you know anywhere around here that sells batteries? Or, excuse me, do you know anywhere near here that sells milk, for example?
Yes, that's a very good expression, particularly when you don't know what shop to go to, because many different types of shops sell batteries. You could get batteries in a department store, some newsagents, or even some corner shops. Corner shop, by the way, is what you would call ultramarinos in Spanish. And other types of shop sells batteries. So rather than ask for the actual shop, if you say, do you know where... beg your pardon. Rather than ask for the actual shop, if you say, do you know anywhere near here that sells, then they'll send you to whatever the shop happens to be.
Of course, you can always say, where can I buy? Excuse me, where can I buy batteries? But if you use near here or around here, es cerquita, cerca de aquí.
Craig, how might you check that you're going in the right direction?
With an expression like, is this the way? So, excuse me, is this the way to the city centre? So if you're walking in a direction or driving in a direction, you can ask somebody if you're on the right road or walking in the right direction with this question. Excuse me, is this the way to the city centre? Or is this the way to the beach? Or is this the way to the nearest supermarket? We said before near here or around. Another expression you could use is nearby. One word, N-E-A-R-B-Y. So, excuse me, is there a bus stop nearby? Or, excuse me, is there a supermarket nearby? Which is also similar to around here.
So, Craig, that was asking for directions. Now, what about giving directions?
That could happen if you're in a city in your country where tourists happen to be. It's a great opportunity to have a short conversation, to help somebody, and to practice your English with a native speaker. So, if I asked you, Reza, excuse me, do you know where I might find a cash machine near here?
The easiest way is to go straight down to the end of this road, for example. The easiest way is to...
The easiest way, or the quickest way. Más rápido. The quickest way is to go down here, turn left, etc.
Or the best way is to, because there might be more than one way. But perhaps the official way, or the way which is marked on the maps, is not the best way for everyone.
Exactly. You could use a conditional. If I were you, I'd take a bus. If I were you, I'd go by taxi. So it's I would, contracted to I'd. If I were you, I'd walk down here, take a left.
And of course, it depends how you're going to get there. So if I'm driving my car and I stop my car beside someone and I say, excuse me, could you tell me where the nearest post office is? Well, then hopefully the person is going to send me on a route where I can drive because I'm in my car. So one possible answer could be, it depends on whether you're going by car or whether you're driving or on foot walking, because the routes could be different. Very often you can walk down a route that you can't drive along, and vice versa.
What would you say naturally, Reza? Would you say walking or on foot? Because I hear a lot of Spanish speakers say incorrectly by foot.
Yes.
But would you say on foot or would you say walking?
I normally say walking.
Me too.
But certainly on foot is correct. It's correct.
Yeah. If you're walking, then it's about 15 minutes. Yeah.
Okay, and then let's talk about some specific directions then. Craig.
The meat and potatoes.
The meat and potatoes. The real
McCoy.
McCoy.
The real stuff.
How would you say in English, Craig?
I'd say ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha. Yes.
You see, how would you say?
We even translate laughter into English. Or getting back to directions, and I will try to speak Spanish if possible, although badly. How would you say in English, girar a la izquierda?
Turn left.
And then the opposite?
Turn right. What's the difference between girar and doblar? Or torcer, I think you can say. Is there a difference? I usually hear in Valencia, doblar a la izquierda. Turn left.
To be honest, I've never heard Torter.
Me neither. Maybe it's from Latin America.
I believe it is, which is why we don't hear it so much in Europe.
Girar and doblar are common here. Yeah, turn. So we only have one verb, I think. Or you could say take a left, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Turn left and take a left. I think take a left or take a right sounds more American to me.
Yep. Exactly.
Hey, take a left. You can do it better than me. Take a left.
Take a left. Take a right.
Turn right, turn left. What about sigue hacia adelante or sigue recto? Sigue todo seguido.
Go straight ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the word go can be used in any context, but you can also say walk straight ahead, drive straight ahead, sail straight ahead if you were in a boat. Whatever the verb happens to be.
Straight ahead. Excuse me, how do I get to Mallorca? Well, sail straight ahead until you see an island.
What?
Straight ahead. Be careful of the spelling of straight. S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. Straight ahead. What other, are there any other prepositions that would go together with go when we're speaking about direction? So you can go straight, obviously. Any others?
You can go left, you can go right, go through, for example, go through the park. So enter on one side, go through the park,
you could go
exit on the other.
You could go through the town center.
Yes. So that means passing from one side to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Through, that's T-H-R-O-U-G-H, pronounced through.
Go through the tunnel. You could go up and go down. So go up the hill or go up this street.
Yeah. Although they're very confusing words because sometimes up means up and sometimes down means down.
And when it's up, it's up.
And when it's down, it's down. But sometimes.
So why are they confusing?
Because sometimes they don't mean up or down. Sometimes they mean nothing. Sometimes on a flat road, you say go up the road, but you're not actually going up. Not so?
Yeah, and I'm always confused with the Americanism uptown and downtown. I don't really get, I mean, city center is explanatory. It's the center of the city. But in American English, for city center, they'd say downtown. Why is it down?
Yeah.
Why is it down, downtown?
Exactly. In that case, it's the same as go up and down the street. It doesn't actually mean up or down. How would you translate it in English? I was going down the street when I saw a crazy guy. Translate, I was going down the street.
Estaba andando por la calle.
Yeah, not cuesta abajo.
No.
No. So this is my point. Sometimes up, it doesn't mean up. Sometimes down, doesn't mean down. We just add it in. But sometimes it does. Sometimes when you say, I was walking up a hill. Ah, you mean up a hill. Or I was walking down a hill. But sometimes when we say go down a street, in fact, you're not going vertically up or down. It just means along. It's very confusing.
So go along is more accurate. I was going along when suddenly. Yeah.
But people do say go up and go down. Whether you like it or not, they're going to say it.
How would you say está a su derecha or está a su izquierda? For example, when you're showing somebody or explaining to somebody what side of the street something is.
It's on your left, it's on your right.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's to your left, or it's to your right.
Or it's on your right-hand side. Mano derecha. On your right-hand side, on your left-hand side, you could say. It's on your right, past the traffic lights.
How would you say, Craig, está en la esquina?
It's on the corner. Preposition on. It's on the corner. The bank's on the corner. So the supermarket is on your left, on the corner.
And how would you say está enfrente? For example, está enfrente de la estación.
It's opposite the station. Mm-hmm. It's opposite the train station or it's opposite the bus station. Or for more exact, you could say, to be more exact, you could say it's right opposite the station.
Let's just rewind a little bit to focus on something very important. That was rewind, very high tech.
That's just rewinding, yeah.
We said, did we not, that it's on and I'm stressing the preposition on. It's on your left-hand side. Está a su izquierda. Ah.
Ooh.
Oh. Ah. Oh. No, I didn't discover something. I was trying to stress the preposition in Spanish. Ah. Está a su izquierda. It's on your left. So there it appears that A is translated as on. Muy bien, seguimos. Next one was, it's on the corner. Oh, so is that going to be the word A as well? No, afraid not. Está en la esquina. Never, ever, ever, ever try to look for a fixed translation of a preposition. It doesn't work that way.
You kind of have to learn them individually.
Yep, the expression is, it's on the corner. When Spanish, it's está en la esquina. And you use the word está a su izquierda, a, and in English we use the word on. So one translation of on is a, another translation of on is en.
So it can help you, I think, to try and learn these prepositions together with the verbs or words they are commonly with. For example, to stay on means quedar. Or you could say to stay on this road for 10 minutes. So go straight ahead and stay on this road for 2 kilometers, for example.
And it's and the bank is opposite the station. Está enfrente de, opposite the station. En frente de. We've got the word en again, but this time it's neither on nor in nor anything else. It's opposite, enfrente de, opposite. So prepositions do not have fixed translations.
And we're going to help you with prepositions in 3 or 4 episodes from now because we've been planning our podcast for the summer. And one thing we'd like to look at are these dependent prepositions, prepositions that commonly go with particular verbs, adjectives, nouns. For example, stay on or go over. So we'll be practicing these prepositions in the near future.
What is go over, Craig?
Well, if you go over, it can have two or three. It can have a physical meaning, a literal meaning of go over the bridge. So go over the bridge and turn left. Pasar por el puente. But you can also go over the light. So you're not actually, no subes por encima. You don't go up in the air and down the other side like a hill or a bridge. But to go over the lights just means pass through the lights. Pase el semáforo. So you could say go over the lights and it's on your left, which just means go through the lights.
Yeah. So always be prepared for prepositions to have different translations.
Yep.
What about, how would you say in English, pase el parque?
Go past the park. Go past the park, and then it's on your left. So you're not actually going through the park. For example, you can drive through Central Park in New York, but I don't think you can drive through London parks. If I remember, you have to walk through the park or drive around or drive past the park. So these prepositions can be important. Go past the park is the you're driving past and the park is on your left or on your right and you pass it.
Quite often there are several streets to choose from. So we might say something like, take the first on the right or take the second on the right or the third or the fourth or whatever. Or take the fifth on the left.
So that those numbers, those ordinal numbers referring to streets, take the first street or take the second street, but we don't actually say street, do we, or road. We just say take the first, take the second on the left.
Yeah, the word street can be left out.
Yeah.
How do you say in English, continue?
Keep going. Go past the park, keep going, then you'll see a gas station or a petrol station. Keep going, sigue, continue.
I said there, continue, or I could have said also siga, from seguir, I believe. I used the usted form there, politely. And what if I wanted to be more informal? What if it was a friend of mine? how would I say sigue or continúa, using the to form? What's the English for that? It's the same, isn't it? In other words, we don't have a difference in English.
Yeah, there's no change. You just say keep going or go straight ahead. Yeah.
In Spanish, I find it tricky. I have to decide, now am I going to refer to this person as tú, or usted? If it's tú, I have to say sigue. And if it's usted, I have to say siga.
I always get confused with perdone and perdona, remembering which is usted and which is tú.
In English, you don't have this problem. It's all the same. Keep going could be to a more polite usted or a more informal tú. We don't have a difference in English, so that's handy. That's a good thing.
Because we're using the imperative. So when you're giving directions, it's important to be polite when you're asking for directions. Excuse me, could you tell me where the nearest bank is? But it isn't necessary to be polite when you're giving instructions and directions. Just use the imperative. Go down this road, turn left, turn right, keep going, straight ahead, it's on your left.
We'd just like to pause for a minute and tell you about our sponsor, iTalki. iTalki is an internet-based company where you can get in touch with teachers of English, or any language in fact, and learn via one-to-one lessons through Skype. So you don't need any fancy equipment except a computer and to have a Skype account. Why would you do that? Well, there are several advantages to using iTalki. It's very effective because you do exactly what you need to do with your one-to-one teacher. You don't have to do what the class wants. It's one-to-one. The teachers are all native. They're very international people. Many of them are polyglots. They speak more than one language. And you can check their profile to see what experience and qualifications they've got and choose your own teacher. And they all charge different prices according to their experience and what they're offering. But perhaps the most important thing of all is it's very personal and customized. It's very human. There's a human connection. It's just you and your teacher. There's several reasons why Craig and I think that if you're looking for some one-to-one tuition, iTalki is a great website. And there's a special offer for inglespodcast.com listeners. If you follow our link,
go to inglespodcast.com/iTalki.
Yep. If you follow our link to inglespodcast.com/iTalki and you sign up there, iTalki will give you 100 free credits, and those credits convert into money. So pretty much that will pay for a lesson for you as your introduction to iTalki. See if you like it, then carry on. It's as simple as that. We'd like to thank iTalki for sponsoring our podcast.
Now, when you're giving directions, it's a good idea to connect your directions with connecting words. Like, for example, after that. So, go straight ahead. After that, turn left. Or before that. So, after that, después, and before, antes. Before that, you'll see, or before that, turn left. Any other connecting words you can think of, Reza?
Then and next are common. So you divide things into steps or stages. For example, you could begin by saying, take the first left, then go straight on for about a mile. Or take the first left, next, take the second right.
Another useful expression, when you get to. For example, when you get to the roundabout, how do you say roundabout?
Rotunda.
When you get to the roundabout, go left. When you get to the traffic lights, turn right. And finally, so finally, or at the end, you'll see the hotel on the left. for example. So use these connecting words to help stage your instructions and your directions. Can you think of any other useful expressions that people could use?
Yes, a very common expression is, for example, it's just around the corner. For example, imagine someone asked me, excuse me, can you tell me where the nearest bank is? I say, yes, it's just around the corner. So they know it's not far to go.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's not far.
No está lejos. It's not far. It's the opposite will be, it's a bit of a way, or it's quite far. That's Q-U-I-T-E. It's quite far.
If you want to be more specific about where something is, you could measure the time. You could say, it's about a 10-minute walk, or perhaps a 10-minute drive. Depends on your mode of transport.
We're using these compound adjectives. So a walk for 10 minutes is a 10-minute walk, or drive. If you drive for 20 minutes, it's a 20-minute drive. So it's about a 20-minute drive. It's about a 10-minute walk.
So it's about 20 minutes on the bus means it's about a 20-minute bus ride.
Remember, you can find all of these expressions and vocabulary items on our website at inglespodcast.com/111.
Sometimes we use expressions, Craig, to indicate the position of something in relation to another feature or landmark. For example, you'll see a big tree on the left. So you know that when you see that big tree on the left, you're going in the right direction. You're not lost. Or you'll see a red building on the left, or you'll see a petrol station on your left.
And that's using the future simple will as the verb to tell somebody what they'll see or what they'll pass, etc. You'll see, or you'll go past. For example, you'll go past a police station. You'll go past a petrol station.
Or it's opposite the post office. So you know that if you can see the post office, whatever you're looking for, let's say it's the bank, is opposite. It's opposite the post office. So find the post office, look on the other side of the road, and you've got what you're looking for.
We said earlier that you can say it's on the corner, está en la esquina. You can also say it's on a particular street. For example, it's on Oxford Street, or it's on Calle Cavite, for example.
Or it's next to, that's al lado, it's next to.
It's next to the bank.
Or it's opposite. How would you translate it's opposite?
Enfrente de.
And how would you translate delante de?
In front of.
Yes, old classic false friends. You think delante de, is that the same as in front of, blah, blah, blah. So in front of is not enfrente de. It's not. It's delante. And enfrente de is opposite. False friends.
Mm-hmm. And as we said before, cerca is near, so it's near the bank, or it's around the corner from. So it's just around the corner from the supermarket. More expressions. Turn right at the next street. Turn left at the traffic lights. Get in the left lane. What's lane in Spanish?
Carril.
Carril, yeah. Bicycle lane, carril bici. So get in the left lane if somebody's driving. Get in the left lane, then turn left. Go one more block. Block is...
Manzana?
Manzana, yeah. Apple. Mm-hmm. Go one more apple. No. Go one more block, then turn right.
Or at the next traffic lights, turn left. Or at the next junction, cruce,
mm-hmm.
Turn right.
And then you can explain where something's going to be using going to. So it's going to be on your right, or it's going to be on your left. And make sure that the person you're speaking to understood your directions. Check that they're clear. Say something like, did you get that, or did you get all that? Just make sure that they understood. Because it's difficult, isn't it, to follow directions, especially when it's not your your native tongue. So make sure that you ask them if they understood, that they got the information, and if necessary, repeat the directions a second time.
What if you can't give directions, Craig, because you're not from the area or you simply don't know? How could you ask?
Well, that happens a lot to me. People ask me in various places in Valencia and I say, I'm sorry, I'm not from here. I'm sorry, I'm not from around here. Or I'm afraid I can't help you. I'm afraid I can't help you. I'm not from here. They know from my accent that I'm not from here. Another possibility, sorry, I don't know my way around here. I don't know my way around this area. Any helpful suggestions, though, if you want to maybe start a small conversation, but you don't know the way, how could you help a tourist in that situation? Any suggestions?
Sorry, what do you mean?
If, for example, a tourist asks you, in English, you're Spanish. Let's imagine you're Spanish. A tourist asks you for directions and you say, I'm sorry, I'm not from here, or I can't help you. Can you think of a way of continuing the conversation, offering help to the person?
Yes, you could perhaps refer them to someone else. For example, you could say, you could ask in the shop, or you could ask in the post office, or you could ask in the bank, whatever.
You could ask the bus driver.
Yes, bus drivers are very good people to ask because they know the streets. Taxi drivers as well, they tend to know streets. Mm. Or if you do know, but you're not quite sure how to describe it, you could say, well, follow me, I'll show you the way. So offer to physically take the person there.
And of course, that gives you the advantage of speaking a little English with the tourists while you're walking with them and showing them the way. You could offer to draw a map. You could say, do you want me to draw you a map? Would you like me to draw you a map? That's very helpful.
Would you say, Craig, draw a plan?
No, that's a false friend. Plano, false friend. And I always make the mistake of saying el mapa instead of plano. Plano is in the city, isn't it?
It's a street map.
Street map,
it?
Yeah. And mapa is more like a geographical map of a country, yeah, for example.
But we don't normally translate plano as plan.
Although
plan is a plan.
Plan does exist in English.
Like yes,
it does. You could make a plan of work, or you could make a plan.
Un plan.
Yeah.
But it's not un plano. It's
exactly.
A different word in Spanish. Yeah,
exactly. Plan.
False friend.
Yeah. So Reza, let's practice a few of the vocabulary expressions we've been speaking about. We've spoken in the past about a particular Argentinian cafe in your area where you live in Valencia. That's rather good, where they have dulce de leche.
It used to be rather good, but it's become a victim of its own success, I'm afraid to say. So it's very good, but if you go there now, you'll have to wait a long time to be served.
Is the food still good?
Still good, but it's a victim of its own success. That means when a place, because it's good, is very popular, then it's in a way not so good as regards service, because lots of people go there and you have to wait a long time. The last time I went, I had to wait about 15 minutes to get a cup of coffee.
Wow.
But it's a very good place. It's a bit like in the Malva Rosso, La Patagonia, La Mas Bonita. Is that what it's called?
Well, why don't you tell me how to get from your flat to that cafe, and then I'll tell you how to get to that place on the beach.
Okay. So to get to the cafe, dulce de leche, I take a right, then the first...
Wait, you come out of your flat, you take a right, that takes you in the direction of the railway lines.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Just checking.
That's right. So I head towards the railway lines, and then I take the first street on the left. I go down that street. It's a flat street, by the way. There's no hill. I go down that street... And I will find it on the corner of the second street on my right.
Do you know, that's nowhere near where I thought it was. I thought it was near Calle Cuba, which is
it is
your left.
It is.
Oh, but that's the quickest way to go.
Yes.
That's the quickest way.
It is on the corner of Calle Cuba.
Okay. So yeah. let me check. So you go out of your flat, you turn right, walk along that your street, turn left at the bottom?
Not at the bottom of the street, no.
Okay.
I turn left at the first turning.
The first turning. And yeah. Then go along that street?
Yes. And it's on the corner on the right of the second street.
Got it. Okay. That's clear.
A turning is a place where you can turn. Mm-hmm. Could be a street or anything. Any place where you can turn is a turning. Not necessarily. Mm. It doesn't have to be a crossroads. It's anywhere you can turn is a turning.
So to get to the cafe that you mentioned on the beach, which is rather nice here, you go out.
Is it not another victim of its own success, I've been
told?
It
is, yeah. I was there. I tried to go there 2 days ago, actually.
You tried to go?
It was really, really busy. There was no table. There's a place where you had to wait to be seated, but nobody came to tell you that. How long you would have to wait, or it was too full. That, so I waited for 5 minutes and left and found somewhere else. It is a lovely place to go to in the morning when it's quiet. It's a nightmare to go there at weekends when it's really, really busy.
Yeah.
It's just on the beach. So you leave my flat, you turn left, then you take the first on the right and walk in the direction of the beach. Before you get to the beach, turn left, go straight, cross the road, and it's on the left-hand side.
Do you pass those little houses on your left?
Yes, some of them. Mm-hmm. But you go along about 2 minutes or less, 1 minute, and it's on the left. It's very, very close. It's a 3 or 4 minute walk from here, no more. Do you know where the nearest petrol station is?
I have no idea.
Shall I tell you?
Please.
So if you're driving and you're parked in this street, you go straight, go past the first road, and then at the traffic lights turn left, keep going, go across the roundabout, and then it's the first on the right. You'll see it on the right-hand side. How do you get to the train station from your flat?
My flat's quite near the train station, so I leave the flat and I turn left. Then I take another left and I go to the end of that street. That's Calle Sueca. Then I take a right. Then I go over the road. I cross the road at the traffic lights. I keep going straight for about 5 minutes, so it's about a 5 minute walk from there, and I will find the train station on my left, opposite the Bullring.
Okay, that's all we have time for this week, so we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to send us a message, a spoken message, go to speakpipe.com, that's speakpipe.com/Inglés podcast. And leave your message on SpeakPipe. Or you can send us an email to me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com.
Or to me, Reza@belfastreza@gmail.com.
And before we say goodbye this week, we'd love to thank our sponsors who are sponsoring us on patreon.com/inglespodcast. Reza, could you tell us who our sponsors are this week? We have 11 lovely sponsors.
Yes, they are Lara, Zara, Mamim, Juan, Sara, Corey Finneran from IBM, Jorge,
and Raul, Rafael, Daniel, and Manuel. Thank you very much for sponsoring us for the possibility, very soon we hope, of providing you with full transcriptions of this podcast. On next week's episode, we're going to speak about the causative passive. That's using have and get when you have or get something done. So join us next week. And until next episode, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.